We're glad you're here. We're going to wrap up our series, Blessed to be a Blessing. We have been in this series at the beginning of the year. We have been reminding ourselves of the blessing of church family and the responsibility around that, right? That there are so many benefits we have by being a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the movement of Jesus Christ, the initiation of the kingdom of heaven. Our inclusion in that is such a blessing. It does so much for us. The fellowship, the growth, the community, the mission that is a part of that. And we have been trying to lean into that. Number one, to remind you, that church isn't just a thing you check off your list every week. I know a lot of times we can feel that way, and teenagers, I know you feel like there's a million better things you could be doing right now, and there probably is, but your presence here is important, and it means a lot, and I hope you benefit from that. But not only is there a blessing that comes, but there's a responsibility in our calling to share the blessing with others, right? Jesus didn't ask us to form an institution. He didn't ask us to, hey, I want you to go and build big buildings where people will come for 2 hours a week, sit with dirty looks on their face, rise to leave, and the doors will be locked until the following Sunday. That's not what he asked us to do. He asked us to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That we are blessed, we receive from him, and then in turn, we are called to go out and share with others. Generosity is what it comes down to. We are blessed to be able to share with others. Jesus, God is generous. He is a generous, benevolent God. There are no limits to the generosity that he has. Throughout history, he has poured himself out in making of creation and the universe. He gave his all for that. When it came to our sin problem and our separation from him, he literally emptied the heavens by sending his own son, Jesus Christ, to come to live, to serve, to die, to rise, and to lord over us so that we can have a connection with him and we can have a life eternal. We are blessed, but not just so we can be proud of ourselves, but we are blessed so that we can go share that in the world around us. And after watching the news this week and all the things going on, oh my goodness, the world desperately needs who Jesus is. And we are the ones that have the responsibility and the privilege of sharing those things with the world. Now, God and generosity go together. With human beings, it doesn't come naturally to us. There are no kids that just naturally learned how to share, right? Now, what's one of the first words they say? Mine. Yeah, yeah. Brooklyn, can you put the video up?
Denver, can I color with this?
I want mine.
Can you share?
It's mine. It's all mine.
Can I use it?
No, mine. This is mine.
I understand that it's yours, but can Mimi play with it?
No, it's mine.
Can I borrow it for a second?
No, it's mine.
So Mimi can't draw too?
No.
That's sad. Why not?
This.
That's Denver, my granddaughter, when she was 2 or 3, right? But that's we expect that. Mine. We learned that word early, and hopefully your parents taught you how to share, but unfortunately, it's a lesson we have to keep on learning, right? We even as adults can get caught up in the mine thing. In fact, a lot of our political differences, our different ideas of what is mine and what I should share and what some people shouldn't get. When it's mine, I don't want it. All of that kind of stuff. There's a lot of mine. And in the church, we can suffer from that as well. We can get so internally focused and be so worried about our comfort and our needs that we forget that what we do here doesn't mean anything if we don't go do something out there. The mine here is, this is God's mine, not our mine. It's his church. It's his movement, and his purpose for us is not just to gather here. It's to go and to bless the world, to share who he is with others. We're going to start in Genesis this morning. And when I was putting this series together, I first had this one first, and then I moved it to last because it could have served as the launching pad, but I chose to do it as the wrap-up of this. The title of the sermon, A Blessed to Be a Blessing, comes from the story of God calling Abram, and it's in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says this, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God, in beginning this next chapter, this revelation of who he is, establishing a covenant with Abram, that was a strategic move to begin to pull the curtain back on who he was. And he says, Abram, I need you to leave everything you know. I need you to leave your family, your family land, your heritage, your community. I want you to leave that and go to a place that I'll tell you later. Are you willing to do that? If you do, I'll bless you. I'll bless you so that you can be a blessing for others. Let's go back though. Abram, I want you to go. But just know, if you go, I'm gonna be with you. I'm going to bless you. Let's pause right there. God is in the blessing business. It's what he does. To good and bad, the rain falls on the wicked and the good, right? He blesses everyone. Blessing is a part of who he is. We call it in the Methodist Church, we call it prevenient grace. That he exists in his calling and is present in your life even before you know that there is a God. He is blessing you. When you were in your mother's wounds, he says in Psalm, wounds, womb, when you were in your mother's womb, he knew you and had plans for you. Even before that, he had plans for you. He walks with us. He has purposes for us. The family you were born into, the air that you breathe, the planet that you stand on, all blessings that he gave to you. He's a generous, benevolent, awesome God. We could go on and on for days just talking about the blessings that God had shared with us. The greatest of those is Jesus Christ. The fact that even with all the blessings that he continues to pour out on us over and over again, every day we wake up with the air to breathe and the planet to walk on and the food to eat. Every day we wake up with his presence surrounding us. And even though we turn away from him, and even though we push him away, and even though we just check with him occasionally, his love is constantly there, blessing us, flowing over us. When Jesus came, he came as a blessing to connect us from our sin back to his heavenly Father so that we could have the blessing of a relationship with Almighty God, the one who designed us and knows us best, that has plans in the future for us. He is the greatest blessing of all. But in all of that blessing, you can't stop there. He didn't say, Abram, hey, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you famous. Enjoy life. You're the favored one. Enjoy life. You won the lottery. Holy Spirit, Jesus, I threw some dice last week. You win. Enjoy. Rest of the world, who cares? That's not what he did at all. He said, I'm blessing you so that the world will see through my interaction with you what they could have if they have a relationship with me. Basically, he was creating an advertising campaign through Abram and Sarah that the way I bless you and your family, and at the time of this covenant, you have to remember Abram, Sarah, 80 years old, Sarah's barren, hasn't had children. They're past a childbearing age. And later on, when God confirms the covenant in Genesis 17, he says, I'm going to give you descendants that will outnumber the stars in the sky and the grains of sand on the beach, which was laughable at them. But I am going to be a blessing. Do you take the time over and over, every day, every moment, do you take the time to recognize the blessings that God pours out? Not just the one we say before we eat, but the little things as well. Sure, in the big things, that's a blessing too. But all good things come from the Father of lights, it says in James. All good things come down from him. He's the author of blessing and good. It starts there. We need to understand that. We as the church, our first experience of God is that we know God personally. We have personal experience with God because that helps our story and sharing it out. It's never effective to try to sell something you've never used, right? You can't run a campaign if you don't have experience of the product that you're trying to share with others. If we're called to share the goodness of God, the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world, we need to have experience of that. And it begins with that experience of understanding how good he is to us. Despite our sin, despite our mistake, it's not that Abram won a lottery. It wasn't that Abram was a great person. If you read the story, you find out Abram did a bunch of dumb things and unhonest things. But then if you read the Bible, you find out that every character that God interacts with did dumb things. Just like you do dumb things. And I do dumb things. The whole story of the Bible is a good God who interacts with dumb people. And out of that interaction, good things happen. Not because of the people, but because of the good God that's blessing the bad people, the dumb people. That God says, Abram, trust me, and I'll bless you. But I want you to live your life with me so that others will see you will be a blessing to the world. That's Old Testament. And that started a patriarchal age. That started a storyline of God's interaction with human beings and God's interaction with flawed human beings. And it works its way through the Old Testament, and we arrive in the gospel times, and Jesus comes into the world. The blessing of blessing, who lives his life as an example, who experiences everything we've experienced. He didn't come and just live half in, half out. He came as 100% human. He had a full experience of who we are and what we go through. Yes, he remained 100% God, but he lived 100% the human experience and showed us what it looks like to walk in this life and be fully committed to your Heavenly Father, the blessing that can be for us. The way he taught, the way he interacted, the way he forgave, the way he healed, the way he led, all a blessing. As he came to the end of his time here on earth, after he had been crucified and then was risen, he met with his disciples. He had asked them to meet with them. And here's what happened. It's Matthew 28, verses 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is known as the Great Commission, right? And it has ties to the call of Abraham. I have all power and authority has been given me. Therefore, I'm asking you to go out and tell people, go make disciples, followers, make people like me, make people like you in the world, by teaching them all the things I told you, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I'm going to be with you throughout that. It has a lot of the ring of the story of Abram. Go, and I'll bless you. But live your life in a way that's going to bring other people into relationship with me. Sometimes we get really technical when we think about this and, well, what's it mean to be a disciple? And he says to teach, so you got to go to Sunday school and do 7 Bible studies a week and stuff. Those are all good things, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not the purpose. That wasn't what he was aiming at. When it comes down to it, what was the big thing that Jesus taught us? You should love others the way that I have loved you. That's the thing. When you go out on this mission, as you are going to all the nations, and that word is better translated as people groups. When you go out to all the different people groups, the ones you like, the ones you don't like, the ones way across and the ones very near, when you go to all those people groups, I want you to teach them how to love God the same way that I love you. That's the teaching. And then the baptism, that's a sacrament we practice, but that's an initiation into the family, and that's a remembering of our human worth and value, and that's a belonging to one another. It's an inclusionary sacrament of you're not an outsider. You belong here. You have family. You've been adopted by God. You carry his name. You carry his identity. You belong here. Our mission is to do that for the world around us. There's so many things we do in the church that are important, and I'm glad we do them, but we miss out on our mission sometimes because we think more of what happens here than what happens out there. This last week, I've been in ordination interviews the entire week and doing those interviews. By the way, Matt Ratliff, who came out of this church, will be ordained in June. He was approved this year, so... So another homegrown product that is serving the kingdom from this church. So good job. But as one of the questions we asked was in Matthew 28, it says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." How do you take up that charge and lead people in your church to follow? And a lot of times in these questions, I end up thinking to myself, "Oh my God, you've been in ministry for this long and you can't answer that question." But they were struggling with the detail of that. And they were talking about programs and Bible studies and stuff like that, which that's all good. But we usually do those programs for people who are already in church, right? If we're supposed to take the good news out into the world, we need to remember that in order to get out in the world, you got to leave the church, right? The mission is to go, to share, to live your life in such a way that your good deeds will shine among people. Jesus said, I'm going to make you famous to Abram. What he said to us is, my light is going to shine on you in such a way that you are the light of the world. And put your light up on a hill so that everyone can see. Live out loud for Jesus, like the choir sang for us earlier. Sing the name of Jesus over your friends, your family, your coworkers, your community. The world desperately needs Jesus. I don't know how you cannot not desire that with the condition of the human experience we live in. And I know history has over and over, and guess what? It doesn't matter how long we keep moving forward. We just keep getting better at horrible ways to treat one another and to be able to broadcast it with technology. But the fact of the matter remains, the world needs God. And what's going to transform the world is not going to be a new campaign or a new leader or different programming or different funding. The thing that's going to change the world is the love of God and the ministry of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's where victory comes. It's through the kingdom of heaven. May it be on earth as it is in. And who gets to call down heaven? It's the ones he's blessed with his presence. He says, go and do this work, and it's not going to be easy. Remember, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the age. There's not going to be a time period where I'm going to say, you got this, now go on. He's with us forever because this is his purpose. He wants the world to know who he is because his love needs to be shared. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion this morning, which the picture of Holy Communion is a banquet table that God sets through Jesus Christ for his people, where he nourishes us. When we come to the table, it's a time of remembering. We remember who God is and what he's done. We remember the life and the teaching of Jesus Christ. It's a remembering that he binds us together in a common purpose and a common love for one another and a unity that we need in order to do this work in the world. He reforms us and refreshes us and reignites that love and that passion within us so that as we leave this place, his light shines brightly and we have been filled with his goodness and his sacrifice and his mercy and his kindness so that as we go into the world to work and play and eat and share, that we walk with him. The table is open for anyone and everyone because God's love doesn't have limits and doesn't have boundaries. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread and he broke the bread, passed it around and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you eat of it, remember me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks, passed it around the table, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for many. Whenever you drink of it, remember me. And so it's in remembrance of these as mighty acts through Jesus Christ that we give ourselves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Would you bow with me and let's pray together? Come, Holy Spirit. Fall upon us, O God. You have blessed us in so many ways. You have sacrificed for us in so many ways. You have encouraged us in so many ways. You have nurtured us and fed us in so many ways. As we come to this table to receive your body and your blood, would you make us be your body and your blood for the world around? We look forward to the day when we will be seated at your heavenly banquet table, where we get to look you face to face. But God, until we're there, give us the passion to share your good news so that we can make the table as crowded as possible. That all your children can know your goodness. And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ as we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. We forgive those who trespass. Lead us not into temptation. Kingdom, power, glory forever.